the tantric is the yoga, sorry, deity yoga. Then you see, best protector is our Buddha Dharma Sangha. That's all. And the, you see, actual, how to say, the, in further deeper meaning, the actual protector or actual destroyer is our one's own karma.
If you ask, what is it really that brings about help, it is one's own virtuous karma, one's own virtuous actions. If you ask, what is it really that harms oneself, it is one's own non-virtuous karma, non-virtuous actions. I think this is very important. With this as a basis, oneself individually can make a decision on these matters. Must desire always lead to attachment? Does desire have to lead to attachment?
That means
Well, I think it means, does desire have to be bad? Oh. Can you enjoy desire and it not create trouble?
I don't know the exact meaning of the English word, the desire, and what difference is in desire and attachment. I think I may be more expert in my own language. That means to say desire. Because deva tang desha. Sizaneta desha slavna nyumong chayunguyare. Deva slavna kyunze dambashi yunguyare, kyunze mindambashi yunguyare. Kyunze mindambashi yung chogu mero. Ta chitang pena kyunze dambe deva ti tajubakyule yunguyare.
In Tibetan, there's a clear distinction between Durba and Durcha, which the first is maybe desire or wishing or wanting that is not necessarily associated with the afflictions, whereas Durcha, perhaps afflicted desire, is necessarily an afflictive emotion. And the first type of desire is used, for instance, in wanting to get out of cyclic existence, wanting to achieve Buddhahood, desiring, wanting, wishing that.
Ine ngaranzo le thangu bekabli ya initial stage, right? Initial stage ne da le thabo ordinary beginner kabli ya penan double chasha ne penan chakwa da manje ben deja, mar chakwa da manje ben deba.
At initial stages of practicing, when one is still a common being, it is difficult to distinguish between mere desire and afflicted desire. And one would have even faith that is mixed with afflicted desire, or even compassion that is mixed with afflicted desire. And then, for instance, there could be compassion for sentient beings that you understand as qualified by inherent existence.
It's
difficult to distinguish between these in the beginning, but through one's practice, through maintaining one's basic practice, one can gradually identify what ignorance and the afflictions are and make one's practice more and more pure. Let's leave it at there. An hour has passed.
当年了的可是我的卡萨的养老军尼克团呢叫林书写的第一可是我的军兵了到西年书写了的我的样子的
This explanation yesterday of the 12 members of dependent arising of lifetimes and cyclic existence is like a presentation of the basis. The contaminated actions, afflictive emotions, and suffering. Now, can the mind be separated from this ignorance or not? This is something you have to look into. No matter what type of consciousness one considers, it is connected with conditioning. Conditioning or familiarization. No matter how much one develops, increases in strength, a mistaken consciousness, since that mistaken consciousness does not have a valid foundation, a foundation that is certified by valid cognition, it cannot be increased limitlessly. However, a non-mistaken consciousness, a correct one, that has a valid foundation, the foundation of which is certified by valid cognition, even if one doesn't suddenly train a great deal in it, if one becomes familiar with it, then it will remain with you, and that, and to the degree that you continuously familiarize with it, it will increase and increase and increase, and eventually can become limitless. It is said that qualities that depend on the mind have a stable basis. And why is this? This is because consciousness has no beginning and no end. Therefore, mental qualities have a stable basis in that consciousness itself is the basis, and And thus it doesn't require the same degree of effort as was initially done with regard to a mental quality. A mental quality, once it is in the mind with a certain force, and you don't again have to exert that degree of force to bring it to that level. Thus, when you train more, practice more, the additional training will increase that quality.
Yeah, yeah. 但是这样的通明度，嗯，现在地方呢，但是这样子的马达，看到他们这个的现在地方呢，现在，那呢，本来我们说科研那个路下线呢，叫我他们这个现在。
Now it is in terms of this discussion of the no beginning and no end to consciousness that cyclic existence itself comes to be said to have no beginning and no end.
That's rebirth, didn't you? Rebirth.
Oh, and in this topic comes rebirth.
So that has a tendency to be said, that tendency to be said, that tendency to be said, that tendency to be said.
Now, yesterday,with regard to the 12-membered, the one round of dependent arising explained yesterday, for all 12 members to occur at their fastest, they occur in three life, at their slowest, they occur in three lifetimes, and at the fastest, they can be completed in two lifetimes.
Now, this
topic of rebirth leads to the topic of reincarnation, which is something that I seem to get involved with over and over and over again when people are interviewing me. I should probably have a tape recording of my answer here inside my robe.
Now, nowadays,
there are people who are remembering their former lifetimes, right?
And recently in India, there are two cases. In both cases, small girl. I think there's a feminist shy or a
Since nowadays feminism is a very strong force, perhaps this is the reason why these two have come forward and are speaking about their memory of former lifetimes.
Yeah,
both of them are girls, thus it's probably the reason why they're both girls. For somebody who accepts former and future lifetimes, there's nothing amazing about this sort of phenomenon at all. But for a person who does not accept former and future lifetimes, that person should come up with some sort of answer. Through what kind of condition, what causation does this memory take place? Similarly, also, there is no end to consciousness, and consciousness reaches its fulfillment in Buddhahood.
Now, there's
no question about whether afflicted minds would go on to Buddhahood. Of course, they don't. And not even the coarser levels of consciousness go on to Buddhahood. It's the most subtle level of consciousness that proceeds to and through Buddhahood. This most subtle consciousness has lasted since beginningless time and goes on through to Buddhahood.
And
when we die, our coarser levels of consciousness dissolve or cease.
Ani, ngan zu ludin dinal ya, ta shi ludin dinal ya. Sheba thama thama tu mingin duza ne, mingin duza orve. Sheba thama thama tu zu dikabla sheba shindu thawa dene kuchha diya re. Ta ludin dinal ya, ta ngan last stage orva, last moment shita di last day yobe kadu ve ta jukshu sheba di sheba thashin chha diya re.
The on our last day, at the time of our death, the final consciousness that manifests is this most subtle mind of clear light. And it is this consciousness that makes the connection to the next lifetime. Now the 12 branches of dependent arising can also be explained in terms of the obstructions to omniscience. This is in reference to bodhisattvas who are on the three pure bodhisattva grounds or stages, the 8th, 9th, and 10th grounds.
Since
suffering meets back to ignorance, suffering therefore meets back to an untamed mind. Similarly, also, the basic origin of happiness meets back to taming the mind. If one doesn't tame the mind, one is led into suffering. If the mind is tamed, this leads to happiness. So now, since the mind needs to be tamed, there is a mode of taming the mind in terms of the mind itself. Therefore, the trainer then is the mind, and that which is being trained is also the mind. Therefore, one has to become skilled in the presentation, the layout of mind. Thus, in the Buddhist presentation, there a great deal is devoted to the presentation of mind. Within our consciousnesses, the most erroneous level of consciousness is the lowest level, the most untamed type of mind. Is called wrong ideas, is called wrong knowledge or wrong consciousness. Then, as one accustoms two teaching and so forth, one gradually rises to the level of doubt. And then the level of doubt, as one trains more and more, becomes transformed into a level that is called correct assumption.
Within, within
doubt also, there are three different levels, the lowest level being doubt that is tending to what's wrong, the middling level being equal doubt, tending both to what's wrong and what's right, and then the highest level being doubt that's tending toward the fact or what's right. Then doubt gradually is transformed into this level called correctly assuming consciousness, which itself, by getting used to it, reflecting on reasons and so forth, one generates inference, an inferential consciousness. Then by accustoming oneself to the inferential understanding and developing more and more clear appearance of the object being understood, direct perception, which realizes that object, is gained.
That's literally a kasore, disha.
Now, in order to overcome these wrong consciousnesses or wrong ideas that are one-pointedly holding to what's wrong, to what's untrue, there are, in order to overcome this type of wrong idea, many absurd consequences are set forth. Then at the point at which you rise to the level of doubt, then it's possible to use reasonings for this in order to seek to generate an inferential understanding. The pillars of Buddhist logic, Dignaga, Dharmakirti, and so forth, it's very important to study the books of these two pillars of logic, Dignaga and Dharmakirti. Through this, one increases and develops the wisdom that distinguishes or discriminates phenomena. In the process of developing this, one gradually develops the wisdom arisen from hearing, the wisdom arisen from thinking, and the wisdom arisen from meditation. When one proceeds with this type of practice, one gradually comes to see that indeed there is a possibility of transforming one's consciousness. And from this point of view, one can develop conviction, becoming convinced in the practice of non-violence. The first level in the practice of nonviolence is to restrain oneself from engaging in activities that harm others. And then the second level is to implement the antidotes to those mental factors that motivate bad actions.
되는 숨버디 딱 nyumungi phaja mebasa chalsha.
And then the third level is to overcome even the predispositions that have been established previously by afflictive emotions. Through reflecting on the view of dependent arising, one sees the faults of cyclic existence, the suffering, how it comes about, and one is drawn into the practice of these three levels of nonviolence. The first level of nonviolence being stoppage of harm to others, these being expressions of our afflictive emotions. The second level being stoppage of those afflictive emotions themselves, and the third level being stoppage of the predispositions or potencies, dormant potencies that have been established in the mind, by actions motivated by afflictive emotions. In order to remove the latent predispositions established by the afflictive emotions, it's necessary first to remove the afflictive emotions. Without removing the afflictive emotions, there isn't any possibility of removing the predispositions established by those. The removal of the afflictions, as well as the predispositions established by them, is called the stage of Buddhahood. The mere removal of the afflictive emotions is the stage of an arhat or foe destroyer. Now, the destruction or the overcoming of the afflictive emotions and the predispositions established by them is like an offensive engagement. Thus, prior to doing this, it's important to engage in a defensive line of action, making it such that one cannot come under the influence of these afflictive emotions. Thus, the importance of initially restraining ill deeds of body and speech. The ultimate aim, the final aim that we're seeking is to remove all of the afflictions together with their predispositions, that is to attain Buddhahood. But in the implementation of bringing about this aim, what one has to do initially is to restrain one's ill deeds of body and speech.
With you see selfish motive. You see, wrong action, such as killing, stealing, lying, what called lying?
Adultery.
Adultery. Now you see these. You see, bad action, you see, action of body, action of speech, you see, now these not only is it harm other, but ultimately it will bring, you see, suffering on oneself. Thus,
even without bringing up the topic of violence to others, if one considers violence to one's, the violence one is bringing to oneself, in terms of the cause and effect of actions and how we're led into cyclic existence, we can see that it's necessary to restrain ill deeds of body and speech. For this, it's helpful to reflect on impermanence. No matter how long our life is, there's a limit to it, right? When we think about the formation of the universe and of the geology and of geological time, the lifetime of a human is very small, isn't it? Short, isn't
it?
And still, there isn't any guarantee that we can live out the usual lifespan of even 100 years or maybe just 60 years.
Under that circumstances, you see, if you concentrate all your energy, you see, mental energy as well as physical energy, concentrate on money or wealth. Of course, you see very clearly the wealth helpful for only this life. So you see, it will help to reduce the, you see, type of extreme greedy. If you get something, no matter what sort of, you see, consequences, you see, that kind of, you see, attitude eventually will change. Under the, yes. Under rimba di she du shendang ge ji ke she ge ma da ga shendang love ge ji ge ma bi she compassion ge ji ge ma bi she da so su ji go to na du sam sam bi na ya da ni ju se ya ya o me de da di ran sam da bo.
At this level of the teaching, there is no relevance, there's no reference to, not relevance, there's no reference to love and compassion and so forth to other people. Just if you think about yourself, these stages are appropriate. If you think about the current world situation, this also helps this practice, in that no matter how good material things become, it can't give the answer to life.
You see, the material progress alone, you see, in certain field, it's solving some problem, but at the same time, it increase or it, how say, it develop a new kind of problem. So, today, in this,
through our own experience, we can realize that. I'm starting to forget. Mere material development is not sufficient. Mere material progress.
Right. So now you see, thinking this line, then you will grow sort of conviction.
Thus, it'll appear to your mind that harming others will bring loss to yourself. This is something to be reflected on again and again.
And also now, you see, the at this stage, thinking or analyze the, how to say, how much usefulness about human brain, human physical, I mean, this state of this human.
Yes. If you think about how the human brain, this human lifetime, the human body can be utilized in a positive way, then it's really sad to use it for some harmful way. For some people, it's helpful to reflect on the sufferings of the three bad trans levels of transmigration, hell beings, hungry ghosts, and animals. No matter whether it's difficult to believe that there are hell beings, we can just consider the sufferings that animals undergo. We, with our, you know, with our own eyes and so forth, are able to see their sufferings. You should think on whether if you were born in that sort of situation, you would be able to stand that sort of suffering. Now, we can pretty much decide that we already have the predispositions in our mind of actions motivated by this initial ignorance for rebirth in such as such animals.
Something like ready.
Thus, you need to think that you have within your continuum the substances almost ready to bring out, or just ready to develop into this kind of lifetime. And if you were born into that type of suffering life, what sort of suffering would you have?
At this moment, up to now, we just simply, you see, looking on them. But now, you see, we should imagine you yourself remain, you see, with them, become like that, then whether I can bear it or not. Like that. This is something you do.
When you think this way, you develop a sense of not wanting it, right? Now the substances that bring about this sort of effect, this sort of suffering as its effect, is violence on others. This is the first level of reflection on the faults of violence and the need to restrain it. The need to restrain ill deeds of body and speech. Now, there's no guarantee that if you restrain ill deeds of body and speech for this lifetime, you will do so in the next lifetime. Therefore, the best defense is this later level of offensive engagement. Thus, this is the second level. One arrives at the second level. Now, the afflictive emotions that bring about all this trouble for us are the afflictions mentioned in the 12 members of dependent arising.
Tanyo Molia, Zawa Tenzinche, Tene Diwangi, Shukche, Chadan Yuari, Tene Machin, Inichigan, yes, Aro, Tesum Saro, Tanyo Molik Mangustua.
Now, within the afflictions, the basis of the afflictions is the ignorance that conceives of objects as inherently existing, and then this ignorance induces desire, hatred on various weaker and stronger levels, desire, hatred, enmity, jealousy, and so forth.
Now, these are real troublemakers. And if we, now you see very clear, now the all crisis of our present world, whether in international level or in a family level, you see the, all the difficulties and the problems, if we investigate, then it is somehow related with our, you see, anger or jealousy or attachment. It is quite clear. So now you see, now for example, the so-called enemy, you really you see, hate, feeling, kind of strong feeling. So you really hate on them. But you see that actually the because of the parubu sema to a di wangi parubu and it's seven lega surano so no yagi legati samarba. Di chembe any that is in yarwa.
Now, because some other person seeks to harm oneself, to bring some injury to oneself, we identify, we consider that person to be an enemy, right?
So, tindedi mi khorangi mene rangshingi midi jindi shi kaso yade bashi na chios na bare de tim marba midi yule ya ngaranzu simju nangshingi nyomong ba jie ba di guangi ta chadang ga lo shu chabu jie ba di wangi nishu tante bashi sabarba.
If, with respect to that other person, this anger, this wish to harm, were in the very nature of the person, it would be a different matter. But it is not the case that anger, hatred, the wish to harm, subsist in the very nature of the other person, for just like oneself, these are peripheral factors that are affecting the mind. Although we do bad actions and so forth, however, it's not that all the time we're thinking to do bad actions. And this other person, the enemy, the situation is just the same.
Therefore, you see, the actual troublemaker is not the person, not the being, but his or her, you see, inflicted mind.
Afflicted
is a mind. So that, you see, real enemy is within ourselves, not outside. So as a practitioner, our real battle should take within ourselves. The right kind of, you see, thought or the wrong kind of thought, battle, fight. It will take time, but that is the only way to, you see, minimize these, usually I call bad human qualities. Then through that way, you will get, you see, more mental peace. Not only for, you see, next life on this long period, but you see, day to day, definitely you will get, you see, more peace of mind, calmness. That's quite clear. The basic destroyer of our, peace of mind is hatred, anger. Although all these, the bad thought are the, troublemaker, especially anger is the most powerful. So now, so soon, get money around the seminary, but the city on out and Aliata, new moon, the Mabas Swaji, the Kasim Shagua, Swaji, Yerina.
Thus, if it comes to appear to you that it really is important to engage in a technique to overcome these afflictive emotions. Thus, at this point, one is on the level of training to overcome the afflictive emotions. To do this, it's necessary to get rid of their root, which is the ignorance conceiving of inherent existence. To do this, it's necessary to generate a wisdom consciousness that perceives objects in exactly the opposite way to that in which ignorance perceives its objects.
That's